This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:03. Great to have you with us. It's Friday, July 19th. It's the Noon Business Hour. I'm Jennifer Kuiper, and on today's Noon Business Hour, we'll talk about Microsoft touching all-time highs. GM unveils its new Corvette.
And it's Entrepreneur Friday. Meet someone who has developed an app that will help you through marathon training and keep you honest at the same time.
And Microsoft is enjoying the ride on Wall Street, where its stock is making a big comeback. We'll get more on that in a moment. The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Right now, we're talking about trade negotiations between the U.S. and China as consumer sentiment data leads today's economic headlines. With us is Gus Fauché, chief economist at PNC Financial Services in Pittsburgh. Welcome, Gus.
Thank you.
Who are or where are the biggest divisions in these talks? It seems Huawei would be one of them. Is that correct?
Yes. I mean, obviously, you know, the United States has raised some security concerns about Huawei. There's, you know, question of whether that is, you know, concern for a cover for protectionist sentiment on the part of the United States. But, you know, I mean, I think we're seeing slower economic growth in China, so they're concerned about tariffs. But I think that generally, the United States under President Trump has become less supportive of free trade. And I think that the two nations are trying to figure out where they go forward from here. But I think, these negotiations could take a long time. And I would not expect to see a full agreement until sometime at least into 2020 or perhaps even 2021.
Now, the latest talk was on the phone. Any word of an upcoming face-to-face meeting between the U.S. and China?
Certainly that's a possibility. I don't think that there's anything in the works right now. And President Trump did meet with President Xi last month. My guess is all the hard work gets done behind the scenes, and so they really probably wouldn't move to a more formal meeting unless there was already some sort of agreement in place.
Who has the greater sense of urgency at this point to reach an agreement? Previously, when we've had these discussions, we've said that the White House and President Trump have had the greater sense of urgency because they're facing an election next November, but now the Chinese economy is slowing down. So is there a greater sense of urgency in Beijing?
I think there may be some more urgency on the part of Chinese negotiators. That being said, the Chinese government does not need to face the voters, and there is strong support among some segments of the Chinese population for standing up to the United States. So I still think that President Trump is under pressure. He has an election next year. He needs to have a strong economy going into that. He's made it clear that he's he's watching the stock market. So I think if we start to see the stock market start to get nervous, then I think we could see the United States perhaps give a little more in these negotiations.
Very quickly, Gus, consumer sentiment hits 98.4 in July. That's just in line with estimates. Despite the red flags that are popping up in various economic indicators because of the trade war, that does not seem to be filtering down to the experience at the store.
That's right, and I think consumers remain in good shape. So unemployment rate was 3.7% in June, up a little from May, but still near the lowest rate in nearly 50 years. Wage growth is good. Interest rates are low. Inflation is low. Stock market is up. So I think consumers are confident, and I think they have reason to be confident as well. And I think the consumer spending will continue to drive the U.S. economy forward through the rest of 2019.
Thanks for joining us, Gus Fauché, chief economist at PNC Financial Services in Pittsburgh. Coming up, Microsoft stock soars, and we'll talk about what's driving it.
And on Wall Street right now, the Dow is up 77 points at 27,300. The NASDAQ is up 5 points, the S&P 500 is up 2 points, and oil is flat. WBBM News Time 12:10, these are good days at Microsoft. The software giant stock hit new highs today on the heels of solid quarterly earnings. Joining us is Dina Bass, tech reporter for Bloomberg News in Seattle. Dina, what's fueling the share surge at Microsoft?
Sure. It's all about the cloud. Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella has kind of revamped the company, which you'll remember 5 years ago was looking rather stale, around cloud software. And, he's benefiting, and the company's benefiting from this sectoral shift in the way companies handle their technology, putting more of it in these off-site cloud data centers that are run by companies like Amazon and Microsoft. With all the growth there, Microsoft's winning new deals, including a massive one earlier this week from AT&T. And while that was not in this past quarter's earnings, in general, they're really benefiting from those kinds of agreements.
So are these big businesses finding that it's easier to be able to use Microsoft to their advantage so they can upgrade their own systems?
Yes, absolutely. They're basically offloading the processing and the storage of their data, the processing of their applications into Microsoft's data center. It puts the security responsibility on Microsoft and the upkeep of the software and the hardware on Microsoft. And that's just a tremendously growing field. So there's that part of it. And then another big business in the cloud for Microsoft is its Office business, which is an older business. But what Microsoft is now doing is, again, putting that Office software in the cloud and hosting it and running it for customers. And that's luring a lot of new customers. Nadella's also found a way to kind of revive the older Windows business, which was really suffering from a declining PC market.
Is this officially a comeback story for Microsoft?
I think it is at this point. I mean, it's hard to argue the company is the most valuable company based on market cap. It's over a trillion. The forecast for their fiscal year, which just started July 1, delighted investors yesterday. I think over here at Bloomberg and Bloomberg Businessweek, we've sort of dubbed it the Nadella-sance, but I think it's hard to see it as anything other than a comeback story.
Now, is this, we're coming up on the 20th anniversary of the antitrust action against Microsoft that was undertaken in the latter days of the Clinton administration. Was that kind of the beginning of Microsoft's woes as it was kind of fell behind all these other tech startups that became behemoths like Google and Facebook and Amazon?
One of the hottest debate targets among Microsoft veterans and ex-Microsoft veterans was whether the antitrust case caused Microsoft to miss a variety of the important technological trends like search, like mobile, or whether the company's execution was the problem. I think you can debate. I think neither was good, right? The antitrust distracted them. The execution in mobile and search was poor. And it really caused this sort of period in the wilderness for the company. Bringing up antitrust is interesting now, though, because one of the things that's also fueling the company's stock recovery is that while the other four really big U.S. tech companies are a little bit under the gun and under increased regulatory scrutiny, Microsoft is the one that seems to not be in the crosshairs there. And so that's also caused some investors to view the stock as a bit of a safe haven if you're worried about what regulators might do to a Facebook or a Google.
Dina Bass, tech reporter, Bloomberg News, Seattle, Washington. Coming up, cell phones and the hazards that they can create on some commercial airlines. WBBM News Time, 12:13.
Your daily transaction for useful information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
And when the flight attendant tells you to put away your cell phone, it's just not lip service. Records show hundreds of jets are equipped with cockpit screens that could be disrupted by your phone. Joining us is Joe Schwederman, professor of public services and director of the Chaddock Institute at DePaul University here in Chicago. Joe, cell phones on planes, first we're told they're bad, then we're told they're okay. Some airlines offer in-flight Wi-Fi services. So where are we on all of this?
Yeah, Jennifer, this is a new wrinkle. It's actually pretty significant in the sense that in 2018, we had a big debate over the Wi-Fi and cell phone usage could cause interference. And the FAA concluded there was no real risk, but they decided to ban cell phone calls anyway. Wi-Fi wasn't affected. And now we find that there's been a little bit of a drama underneath that. There's about 1,300 planes equipped with Honeywell equipment, which there was an apparent risk. It's hard to prove anything because you don't know what caused some of these scary incidents. But they gave them to November to replace all those units, November of this year. And there's still about 400 planes, it appears, that need the upgrading.
Are there some that have come out, some airlines, and said, hey, we've finished, we've complied, and we're done?
Yeah, airlines have been quietly doing this. It requires replacing a bunch of screens in the cockpit. And I think what's added to the drama of this, there have been a few testimonials by pilots who've seen the map displays go out on flights and One pilot refused to take the next leg of the flight until things were looked into. Never was officially investigated, but there's a sense it could be Wi-Fi, it could be cell phone, or it could be even radio signals. But it's tangible evidence that airlines have had to make some moves.
How much of a profit center is in-flight Wi-Fi for the airlines these days?
You know, it's actually grown. I think what the airlines have discovered is you can't super premium price this. You can't charge $15 for an hour and a half flight. You won't get any takers. So they've picked prices that are much more fair, you might say, you know, 10 or 12 bucks, even less than Southwest. And so usage has gone up. The latest numbers I've seen on some flights is upwards of 15% or so. And it's part of this whole strategy to kind of gain revenue through all these ancillary sources. You know, you've got the early boarding on some airplanes, you have checked baggage, and all that adds up on some airlines to about 20% of their revenue.
Thanks for joining us this afternoon. Joe Schwederman, professor of public services and director of the Chaddock Institute at DePaul University here in Chicago. Coming up momentarily, a check in the markets, and later, a Chicago business aimed at helping you get ready for marathons. It's Entrepreneur Friday.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
And I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks are higher. We'll see what's moving the markets.
It's Entrepreneur Friday. We'll talk about a business aimed at helping you train for marathons.
General Motors unveils its next generation of the Chevy Corvette. What's under the hood?
News we're watching. The Chicago area bakes as an excessive heat warning takes effect.
And WBBM Business. The Dow is up right now 71 points. The NASDAQ is up 6. And the S&P 500 is up almost a point.
AccuWeather forecast for today. Partly sunny, breezy, hot, oppressively humid, a high of 96. But it will feel like 105 degrees with the heat index. WBBM News Time, 12:31. The Noon Business Hour continues, presented by the Village of Bedford Park.
Stocks are this week right now they're up as the trading week nears its end. Joining us with the latest on what's moving Wall Street is Jeff Kilberg, CEO of KKM Financial here in Chicago. And what is it that's driving the stocks? Is it investors hoping for interest rate cuts by the Fed, or is there something else at play here, Jeff?
Well, it's a combination of two, Jennifer. We are certainly seeing the hopium in the market for next week. The Federal Reserve plans, and they really laid the foundation, been quite transparent about the fact that they are going to cut interest rates. But this week has really been interesting to see earnings season come out of the gate. We've had some banks report from J.P. Morgan to Morgan Stanley to Bank of America, and by and large, it's been a pretty positive earnings season. I know the bar has been lowered, or expectations, I should say, have been diminished for this earnings season, but the earnings season is going quite well. And if we look at tech, which continues to be the driver of the market, specifically in the NASDAQ 100, we saw Microsoft up about 1.5% today. So that's positive. But if you look at the Dow Jones, one of the biggest contributors we are seeing today is Boeing. It's been a pretty tough tape for Boeing, but it's nice to see Boeing have a little bit of a pop today and up nearly 5%. But yes, the markets are definitely anticipating next week for the Federal Reserve to cut interest rates. I don't necessarily agree with the reason why they're doing it, but this is kind of an insurance cut, Jennifer.
And Jeff, some things that some companies are saying that are interesting is that the strong dollar is impacting earnings. Any companies especially being hurt by this?
Well, I think it is interesting because the strength in the dollar, and by and large, the dollar has been quite a stalemate this year. It's been range-bound from 96 to 98, and you know, if you talk about the trade tariff conversation, that certainly has been very impactful on the U.S. dollar, and we're seeing 50 major companies, you know, belonging to the S&P 500 moving their distribution and factories out of China. So the U.S. dollar has had a lot of emotion in it, but more importantly, I think the Federal Reserve is really kind of giving in to the administration. And President Trump does want a little bit of a weaker dollar because of the fact that we are in a currency war. We look at the ECB, that's the European Central Bank. They're going to be meeting next week, 2 days before our meeting, and they're talking about providing more stimulus to the market. So quite the contrast to what we're doing as we're trying to exit quantitative tightening. So yes, I think the U.S. dollar will remain in a stalemate here or move lower, which should help U.S. equities that have a lot of international business, like you talked about the S&P 500, 44% of the S&P 500 gets their revenue from overseas. So that should help them continue to heal as we don't have a resolution on the trade tariff conversation.
On the subject of the strength of the U.S. dollar, as we talk about the impact on international business, this is summer vacation. Let's talk about the impact on international travelers. If you are going overseas, what will your dollar buy these days, whether you're going to Europe or maybe the Caribbean?
Well, the dollar will get you a lot further in Europe these days as we've seen the euro currency weaken dramatically. And that's by and large due to the monetary policy out of the ECB. But if you're looking for a bang for your buck, let's go up to the northern border. Go see our friends in Canada. That is some strength up there for the U.S. dollar. I just had a friend come back from Montreal, and it was surprisingly to see how small that bill was when you put it up against the U.S. dollar. But I think the fact that the summer travel is here, I think you're going to see continued conversations. But the Federal Reserve, that's going to be front and center next week, and anticipate that dollar to stay around this 96, 97 level, which really helps and aids travelers, U.S. travelers overseas.
So in the words of Bob and Doug McKenzie and Geddy Lee, take off to the Great White North because you get some get some bang for your buck up there. On the subject of summer travel, the price of oil continues to ramp up thanks to the tensions with Iran. Could that have a noticeable effect on the economy as the summer lurches forward?
Well, I think as long as Rob, it stays range-bound, and we've seen the price of crude oil, WTI, stay from $55 to about $62, as long as it stays subdued there and doesn't really elevate above that off of all the emotion and the potential escalation with Iran, I think we're going to be okay at the pump. In the event we do see some type of geopolitical tension move higher and some type of situation escalate with Iran, yeah, that's where it could get a little expensive for us. But right now, I think crude oil is continuing to try and get a better understanding. Remember, this is really important to understand, Rob, that a lot of these commodities, if it's gold, silver, copper, crude oil, they're also looking at the U.S. dollar. So that will have a significant impact. If we see a weakening dollar, you may see crude oil move a little bit higher, but we have no expectation of crude oil getting above $65 this summer.
We started talking about earnings. Let's end with earnings. More earnings reports will be coming out in the coming weeks. Jeff, what should we keep an eye out for?
Well, you know, there's a couple names here. You know, we've talked a lot on the show here at WBBM about XLK. That's an ETF. It's a broader swath ETF, specifically in the tech sector. 20% of that ETF is actually Microsoft. So it's nice to see that continue to move higher. But we also look at an Intel, INTC. And lastly, I would leave you with a very high beta. You have to have a stomach for this, but U.S. Steel. U.S. Steel has really had a rough couple of years. But if we go back to 2016, it was up over 3%. And if we do see some type of a trade tariff resolution, U.S. Steel should move higher. It's above its 50-day moving average, Jennifer.
Well, thanks for joining us this afternoon. Jeff Kilberg, CEO of KKM Financial, based in Chicago. It is Entrepreneur Friday, and up next, we'll meet the developer of an app that will help you train for the Chicago Marathon.
Making sense of your dollars. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Entrepreneur Friday on the WBBM Noon Business Hour. Help may just be a click away if you're training for your next or maybe your first marathon. Welcome in a new guest. Matthew Nippon is the CEO of ChargeRunning.com here in Chicago. Matt, welcome to the program. If you are if you're training for the Chicago Marathon, this is roughly the week you're doing your 10-mile run, your 11-mile run. Maybe you don't do it today because of the weather conditions. How will the app get you through October?
Yeah, well, the heat dressed appropriately. But what we do is allow each run to be more exciting. The average marathon runner is training, doing 80 to 90 runs preparing for this marathon. So what we do is make each run more fun and exciting and engaging to get you through to that big day.
Now, not to toot my own horn, I did it in 2012, and I kind of enjoyed the solitude of the long training runs, just you and your thoughts and the rhythm of your shoes on the pavement. Other people join running groups. This seems to be like an app that can help people who may not have a running group but need other people to keep them honest as they're going through the training process.
Exactly. We're your own virtual run club. So whether you're training for a marathon or you're just getting into the sport, it provides a friendly way for you to get out there and meet with other people, but straight through your phone.
So, Matt, if I'm using this app, tell us a little bit about what we're looking at here. I mean, is it measuring our heart rate? Is it? And you said you can also run with others. So talk us a little bit through that.
Yeah, absolutely. So every single running app on the store right now does pretty much the same thing. You press a button, it tracks how far you go, and you can share them to Facebook. What we do instead is do live classes. So when you open up the app, you could say, hey, I'm going to run at the 1 o'clock run. I tap in, and I'm running with 20 other people around the world in real time.
And where did you come up with this idea? I mean, where did you see the hole here?
Yeah, so I ran with a buddy quite a bit, and he moved across the country, and we both stopped running. So we wanted a way for us to be able to feel like we were running together and have that excitement of running with someone when you didn't necessarily have a run club or somebody else to run with.
Now that you have this up and working, are there some things that you'd like to add to it and you think you'll take a look and you think, yeah, this worked well, this didn't so much, we'd like to tweak it a little bit. Are you doing any of that?
Oh, absolutely. As an entrepreneur, you're always improving. We have sent 32 versions to the App Store already, and we're always improving that. We focus a lot. Each run also has a live fitness coach. So we have a real person coaching the run, being your DJ for it, and giving you advice specifically by looking at your metrics.
And Matt, you talk about you can join a running class and have a virtual instructor who is with you in real time throughout the run. Between this and products like Peloton, where you're taking part in a distant workout class, is this the future of fitness where instead of going to a gym, the gym comes to you?
I truly think so. And I think whether you're running at a gym on a treadmill or somewhere else, everyone wants a way to feel more engaged. You know, if you look at the numbers, at-home fitness is up just dramatically. Save the time of going to the gym and just do it from your house.
Any advice for entrepreneurs?
Oh, stay focused. Look at your numbers, monitor your funnels, and, you know, keep track of what you're doing. Always be able to move quickly and work on whatever seems like to be a good fit.
Matthew Nippon, CEO of ChargeRunning.com, based in Chicago. Thanks for joining us on WBBM. Ahead, we'll talk about the changes in the next-generation Chevy Corvette unveiled just this week.
A deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
And ever since 1953, it has been one of the sleekest, slickest cars made in America. Now General Motors has unveiled the eighth generation of its Chevy Corvette. Let's talk about the changes with CBS auto reporter Jeff Gilbert in Detroit, but he's actually in California, correct, Jeff?
Yeah, I'm actually at the airport getting ready to head home, so if you hear some announcements behind me, that's what it is.
The engine is the biggest change in this new model. What's so special about it?
Yeah, what's special about it is they put it in the back. It's called mid-engine. I'm not an engineer, but all the engineers tell me that they had done about all they could in terms of power with a Corvette, with a front engine, and putting it in the middle like that actually distributes the weight better and gives it more performance. But it also has a ripple effect. So if you've seen pictures of the Corvette, it looks a little different. It looks a little bit more exotic, and it doesn't have that typical long hood that we've become used to with a Corvette.
What are the diehards saying about it?
The diehards who were there, of course, these are people that GM invited who are Corvette lovers, were all very positive. They like the idea. I mean, it does give you a Ferrari-type vehicle at a much more reasonable price. Now, $60,000 is a starting price is reasonable for a supercar. It's still pretty much up there, and there are going to be other variants that are a lot more.
How does, the Corvette is kind of GM's entry in the power arms race against the other big three automakers and the international brands. So how does the Corvette stack up against the high-performance competition?
Yeah, and that's what they're hoping to do here. They're hoping to really stack up better against the Ferraris and Lamborghinis and vehicles like that at a lower price. Ford has its GT, but that's actually, you know, like a true race car. And Chrysler has its Hellcats, and they're kind of in a different thing. So the Corvette really, among American vehicles, kind of stands alone.
Now, was GM falling behind?
No, it was just time to update it. The vehicle hadn't been updated in 5 years. And, you know, when you've got a vehicle like that that is called a halo vehicle, it gets attention for other cars. Let's face it, most of us are never going to buy a Corvette. Most people never even ride in a Corvette. But a lot of people come to a car dealership to look at them and come out buying other things. So they needed something fresh to get those people into the dealerships.
Jeff, did they let you get into it and test drive it?
Test drive, not yet. At some point, I hope I will. I'm on the North American Car and Truck of the Year jury, and we're trying to find out whether we'll actually be released this year to determine whether it'll be in the competition this year, and GM wouldn't even say that. So I take it that they still have a couple of bugs to work out with the manufacturing because they're being very vague on when this will actually be available and whether or not that's before the end of the year.
Jeff, on another topic, negotiations officially started this week between the big three and the UAW. Anything yet coming out about it?
At this particular point, they're kind of laying out the groundwork, the UAW serving notice that the car makers are making a lot of money and they want a part of that. The car makers are saying, yeah, we're making money now, but a recession could be just around the corner because the economy is booming for so long. So, you know, they set the stage this week. They're going to talk in private for a while. Then around Labor Day, we'll find out who takes the lead. And then it gets really into crunch time in mid-September.
All right, Jeff, have a safe flight. That's Jeff Gilbert, CBS News auto reporter, who just took a look at the brand new Corvette. If you missed any part of today's noon business hour, we'll have the replay podcast available shortly at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the radio.com app.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!